Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Mahindra EPC Irrigation Limited Investor Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashok Sharma, Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. A very good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and a very, very warm welcome to all of you at the eighth investor call for Mahindra EPC Irrigation Limited. On behalf of Mahindra EPC, I would like to thank each one of you for joining this call, and I'm sure all of you had a wonderful Diwali and a very nice start to the new year. So today, I will briefly just talk about the industry in terms of how the micro-irrigation industry is impacting Indian agriculture and water crisis briefly, then talk in more detail about how the industry is performing in H1 and the outlook of the industry, and how do we see Mahindra EPC's performance in H1, Q2, and going ahead, how does it look for our company. So I always just talk a little bit about the impact of this business on environment and how crucial it is in terms of creating enough water in the system. And as all of you are aware that India is facing the huge challenge of water scarcity and population explosion, and we are moving from a water-stressed to water-scarce economy. And it's only going to get more challenging as the country's population is expected to increase to 1.6 billion and very soon will be the most populous country in the world. So it means a lot in terms of water. Now, agriculture consumes almost 80% of the fresh water which is available in our country. So there is no option for a country like ours but to save this water, and that to save this water in agriculture. Now, the only way of saving, I would not say the only way, one of the best ways of saving water is through micro-irrigation. And over the last few decades, we have seen that by using traditional practices, the impact has ill effect on groundwater quality and the soil health and crop productivity. And that's where micro-irrigation becomes very important. It not only saves water, it also increases yields and lowers the input cost for the farmer. And by applying the water directly to the root zone, as you can visualize that the water goes right into the root at the time it is required and the quantity it is required, the overall losses are reduced. And as a result of this, there is much higher productivity and much improved cost efficiency for the farmers, and almost saving of 75 to 80% water efficiency in certain crops. And we have experienced increase in yield by 25 to 30% by using micro-irrigation. So that was briefly about the industry. Now, let me just talk about Mahindra EPC so that we are understanding that what is the company's strategy and how are we working. As per our overall vision, we clearly are excited about this whole industry in terms of its impact to the environment, in terms of our commitment to ESG and sustainability, and making a difference in the lives of farmers by improving the farmer prosperity. We always focused on customer satisfaction, and that has been our key strategy for Mahindra EPC, and we have used latest technology in water management so that our farmers get the right kind of drips with proper technology so that they are able to use it efficiently. And this has been our effort since many years, and also our focus on good design of the micro-irrigation solution and proper installation to the farmer and explain to the farmer the benefits of micro-irrigation on how it can be used effectively has been our broad strategy, which remains by and large unchanged in terms of the overall approach. Having said that, in the last few years, I have mentioned before also that we are now focusing on a very precise strategy in terms of focusing on few critical markets, and where we have seen year on year, we have been increasing our market share. And consciously, we have been moving to a portfolio which is more profitable, which is largely drip-driven. And over the last few years, we've always been very mindful about our managing our working capital. And we have tried to maintain the balance of growth and working capital so that we are in a position that we are managing the company in a balanced way. In the last 2-3 years, given the challenges of environment, the focus on cost reduction has been phenomenal. And I am very happy to say that we've had some very good success in terms of lowering our cost. And also, we used this opportunity to get into more non-subsidy businesses. So I will talk about it later that how we are trying to increase our non-subsidy business so that our dependence on state government reduces. Now, let us talk about the industry for this year. All of you who are following our company and who are there on the next call, they know for a fact that last 2 years, F21 and F22, have been very challenging years for the industry in terms of growth and also in terms of margins. And frankly, in H1 of F23, the challenge continues. The industry has a decline in H1 of this year, and we estimate a decline of around 25%, largely in quarter two. And let's understand what is the main reason for this drop in the last 6 months. So the main reason, as per our analysis, is the drop coming from Tamil Nadu state. Last year in H1, Tamil Nadu actually had an overall industry of approximately 300 crores. And our company has a dominant position there, around 10 to 12% market share we enjoy in that market. This industry has dropped by 90%. So actually there was virtually no business in the first few months, and then some business recently started. So that has been one big contributor to the drop in the industry in H1 and largely Q2. Second reason has been Maharashtra. Maharashtra, which is a good state and normally it has good business in Q1, Q2. It has also been impacted due to delay in subsidy release to the farmer. And the farmers are now waiting for the subsidy to come in. So new farmers are not joining in because they are still seeing the old farmers not getting the subsidy. Another interesting thing which has happened is that we have had good rains overall, which is very good. Good for the future. But in Q2, because of the continuous incessant rains, there was less opportunity for companies to install the solutions. And that also impacted the industry in certain states like Maharashtra. Now on the positive side, on the last call, those of you who were there, I had explained in detail that how we are expecting now the price increase from certain states. And on the AGM call also, we talked about it. So I'm happy to share some data which is showing a positive trend in the price increase. In June of this year, Gujarat, which is an important market for the industry, increased the price by 10%. Telangana increased by 18% and Chhattisgarh by 13%, which was in the fag end of June. And the impact of that came in quarter two for us and the industry. And we also mentioned that Tamil Nadu and Andhra, they should be increasing the price very soon. And that's what happened. In August, September, they were increased the price and they've given a very good increase of 18% each. So that is very positive for the industry and that should actually bode well for the coming quarters. Having said that, the raw material challenge still continues. In quarter two, there was an increase of 24% in raw material price. However, last 8 to 10 weeks, we are seeing some kind of stability in the prices. And there are opinions that now the price increase should not be as steep. Perhaps it will be stable or might have some minor correction. There is no major correction expected downwards in this price. So this is on the industry for H1. Now, of course, the question for all of us is to think that what's ahead and how is it looking for H2 and beyond. So when I look at beyond from a 2 to 3 year perspective, clearly I can see that this industry should go back to its, you know, levels of F2021, and there has to be a good surge in the demand for micro irrigation through various states. And already we are seeing some signs that last 2 years when interstates were not very active, now they want to get active. They are having consultation with the industry and they are showing interest. So for example, Andhra, which has been very passive for the last 2 or 3 years, has now resumed operation, which is very good news for the industry. Andhra is one of the good markets, and we expect that Andhra should contribute almost 300 odd crores in H2 as a improvement over last year, 350 crores. And same with Tamil Nadu. Tamil Nadu also is now started operations. So that's a positive side. And states like Telangana also have now upped their game in terms of focusing on micro irrigation. So we expect some good business there. We expect some delay in Gujarat now with elections being announced. Typically, when elections are announced for almost 6 to 8 weeks, the government machinery is a bit disturbed. But from December mid onwards, we expect Gujarat to again come back on the growth path. And they've had a good H1. So Gujarat should be back. One state which is still not picked up and still there is some lack of clarity in terms of pricing and attractiveness for the industry is Karnataka. So Karnataka is a question mark. Other states we see are now all looking green in our calculations. And if Karnataka also starts improving, then that's still better for the industry. But the positive news which I see is AP and Telangana, AP and Tamil Nadu, which are big states, they have now resumed operations and prices have gone up and raw material costs should now be stable. That's the essence. Now let me talk about Mahindra EPC in specifics in terms of how we have done in H1. The results are there for you to see. Clearly, it is a the results have not been, you know, as per our expectations. There has been a degrowth of 22% on the top line, which we believe is in line with the estimated industry degrowth, which is around 20-24%. So that is one key point to note. And for us, since we have a good business in Tamil Nadu, we were also affected in this. And actually the shortfall which we have is almost the same amount. We have a shortfall of 27 crores from Tamil Nadu, which is actually could be made up by other states. But overall, that has been the main contributor for our shortfall of 20.7, and Tamil Nadu itself was 27 crore shortfall. Now, let me give you some specifics on the raw material price, because we've been talking about it, and I would like to give you some data so that all of you understand. So if you look at H1 of this year, there has been a raw material price increase of 23.5% over same period last year, which actually impacts on the material cost is of 12.4%. So the impact on our margin goes to 12.4% on a H1 basis. Fortunately for us, due to the various initiatives taken on focusing on profitable markets, focusing on drips, and a very strong drive on material cost saving, and we also got some price increase in June end and then August, September. So we could contain this whole 12.4% impact to only 3.8%. Balance we could manage largely due to our internal measures and some support on price increase. And for the month of September, the price increase impact was full. But for the two months, July and August, it was still not fully received by us. So as a result, our loss after tax actually has increased from 4.9 crores in H1 of previous year to 14.6 crores for this H1. On the working capital front, the company could show significant improvements. We could reduce our debtors significantly by almost 40 crores. And despite the losses, because of efficient working capital, we could report a positive operating cash flow for H1. Clearly, this was not something which we are all very excited about, but given the environment and given the industry, this seems to be a good balancing of our balance sheet in terms of managing working capital efficiently and good cost control, so that the impact of material cost was minimal for us. Q2, of course, we had a larger degrowth. The challenge was Tamil Nadu market, and also last year we had an export order in this quarter of almost 5 crores, which was not there this year. So these two actually resulted in a 53% degrowth in quarter two and the corresponding impact on the bottom line. So now when we look at the remaining year, what are the positives? Positives are price increase, Tamil Nadu and AP resuming operations. What are the risks? material cost should not go ahead further. It should be stable or should improve. So that's good. But if it was increased further, that's a risk for us. And Karnataka, currently we're not assuming that it will become very dominant in H2. So as a result, we expect that the industry in H2 should be favorable, and the drop which we have seen in H1 of 25%, we should make up that drop. And in a reasonably optimistic situation, we might reach around 10% industry growth for the year. But for that, these two states have to be fully operational, which is Andhra and Tamil Nadu, which seems to be the case. If that happens, then we can expect 8 to 10% growth, or otherwise between 5 to 10%. So let's say the range of growth we expect for the year is 5 to 10% for the industry, largely depending on these factors. And because of the increase in prices and assumption of no further in the raw material cost, we should see increased margins in H2 also. This gives the, you know, I've shared the exact numbers and details so that you understand what is our going in our calculations and in our mind. So just to conclude this call, and of course we'll take Q&As and we can discuss more in detail, that in a rather challenging environment for last two and a half years, we have done many things to make the company leaner, smarter and stronger in terms of focusing on profitable markets, profitable products, focusing on non-subsidy businesses, tight focus on cost, sharp focus on working capital. And as a result, our company has become now much more ready to exploit the growth opportunities which are coming ahead. And as the industry now is poised for growth, we think we are in a good position to maximize the gain and always try to see how we can grow faster than the industry and create value for our shareholders. So with this, I'll pause for now. I'll thank you. I'd like to thank each of you for your patient hearing. And I'll be very happy to hear your comments, suggestions, questions, and share our perspectives. So please feel free to ask your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shriman Dohoria from Shri Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Ashokji. Am I audible?
Sir, if you can take the phone off speaker, please. You're sounding a little distant.
Is it better now?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Good evening, Ashokji. Thank you for the detailed opening remarks. A few follow-up questions, based on your opening remarks. Firstly, on the industry growth guidance which you have given now, 8 to 10% industry growth for the full year, and given that we've seen a sharp degrowth in the first half, just on the back of the envelope calculation, should H2 see as high as 35 to 40% kind of a year-on-year growth? Is the assumption correct?
Is there any other question, Raji? You may complete all the questions and answer together.
Okay. So the second question was on the situation in Tamil Nadu. You said that the Q2 was quite weak for Tamil Nadu and now it is picking up. So was there any specific reason why the Tamil Nadu was weak? And for the full year, do you think that Tamil Nadu contribution would be lower than last year, or it should still grow from the last year's growth in Tamil Nadu? That's the second question. Third question is, so while you mentioned that, the raw material prices look stable, but if you look at, say, the PVC prices, that is being published by the manufacturers, there's a steep decrease in the prices that we are seeing. And from the peak, I think it is what the data that we see is about 35 to 40% kind of a decline in the PVC prices. Are you also witnessing a similar trend? That's the first part. Second is, you know, in a situation where the raw material prices decline, would states roll back the price increases, you know, that they have recently announced? That's the question. And lastly, on the receivables, out of the 138 crores of receivables, you know, as on 30th September, what is the contribution from the top two states, if you could quantify, and the backlog which was there from Andhra, what's the status on that? Thank you so much.
Oh, that's very elaborate. So thanks for those questions. Let me go one by one. You are right. So clearly when there's a 25% drop in H1, there has to be a 25 to 30% increase in H2. We need to keep in mind that H2 normally is a bigger half compared to the first half, historically. So we do expect that growth. And as I mentioned, see, if you look at the numbers, last year, H1 market was around 1,300 odd crores. And this one, H1 is around 1,000 crores. And last year, H2 market was around 1,900. Now, when I'm saying these numbers, please pardon me. These are not published or very validated or industry numbers. They are our estimates. So I could be wrong by 5-10%. So please pardon me for that.
Sure, sure.
So H2, really, if you see, around 2,000 crores was the industry last year.
Yeah.
And we expect around 2,500 plus minus 1,500 crores this year. So this growth of 600 odd crores is largely coming from Andhra Pradesh. Last year, Andhra Pradesh was actually probably zero. So this year, we're expecting around the 600 crores, 300-350 crores will come from Andhra.
Okay.
And we expect around 100 odd crores coming from Gujarat for the year. So they have done well. And Tamil Nadu was your next question. So actually, Tamil Nadu may not grow at the same rate as last year. Actually, we see some degrowth in Tamil Nadu in H2 versus H2 of last year. But since H1 they were very low or 90% drop was there, so it will be a positive from a this year's H1 or next year, this year's H2.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large it will be flat or minus, we might see a 10-15% drop in Tamil Nadu.
Mm-hmm.
Then states like Maharashtra and others, we see some marginal growth. So this 600 crores would largely come from 350-400 crores from Andhra, and around 100 odd crores from Gujarat, and balance would kind of balance amongst each other.
Okay.
So that's on. Now, why is it picking up? That's a good question. See, what happened is that Tamil Nadu went through a change in the government at the start of this year, elections, and then the new management, new structure came in, there were new bureaucrats who came in. And typically we have seen when there is a change in the government, there are a lot of changes which come in these projects in terms of new policies, new people, and new procedures, which happened. And also the priority to be set by the new government in terms of this industry. So now all that has happened. Now we can clearly see that the new government is as keen, and there is a thrust towards going back to the normal way of business. So the whole thing is now the new structures are in place, the new organization is in place, and the government also given a positive signal for growth. That's the belief, and we're already seeing some in October, November, we are seeing that actually happening. So we would like to believe it will continue.
Hmm.
Now coming to the raw material cost, this it's been a PVC has gone down, then also went up, again went down. So it's been a bit volatile. And also two of the major plants, IOC is now closed for maintenance, and another big plant is going for maintenance. So we are a little bit cautious in terms of raw material cost. But on the positive side, global prices are lower than Indian prices. So we think it will catch up as we go forward. But today, we don't want to give an impression to all of you that raw material cost situation is fine and it's going to get better and better. We would rather be conservative because we still see crude oil is not softening. The Ukraine issue is still on. Winter is coming in. So we don't know how that piece will play out. So we are being cautious. We would be very happy if the costs go down. But currently, we are assuming stable as a reasonable conservative base case. Now coming to the last point about 138 crores. So in that, of course, our big friend Tamil Nadu is a big contributor, large contributor. And then, fortunately for us, Andhra used to be a perennial, you know, topper in this list of receivables, but they have actually been paying well. I don't know if those who are following our calls, we used to say around 40 odd crores are there with AP government for some time.
Yeah.
But last 8 months, you'll be happy to know out of 40, 30 to 33 crores they've paid back. So that way that's improved. So clearly for us, Tamil Nadu is the big one. And then others are routine. Gujarat would be lesser. So that's the way on the receivable position.
Right. So out of how much would be Tamil Nadu's contribution in the overall receivables?
I would say significant. Almost what? 60%? 55 to 60%.
Okay, that's large. And I had this follow-up on the raw material and the price increases, you know, that you're getting from the state. In a scenario... Yeah.
The rollback point. So
yeah.
Look, in the past, see, frankly, even with this price, if it stays stable or goes down by 5%, 3%, still the margins would be not as good at the peak margins where the industry has seen. In good times, we've had 53% gross margins in F20, if my memory is right. So against that, we still have a long way to go. So we don't expect rollback. In the past, they have not done it either. So we don't expect that, but, you know, we can't take a view on what government will do, but we don't expect that. Because still there is a lot of gap between what was the price historically and where we are today. So I personally don't think it will happen, but you never know.
Right. Thanks for answering my question.
Thank you very much and all the best to you. Thank you for joining the call.
Thank you.
Yes, please, go ahead.
The next question is from the line of Aditya Shah from Vikram Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have a follow-up question from the previous person. I just wanted some clarity on whether I understood it right or not that last year, FY22, we had a total turnover of around 212 crores. So, first two quarters, if we calculate, it is around 73 crores. So, the remaining 139 crores for the full year is left to be come in these two quarters, and we are expecting 10% or between 5 to 10% growth over this number or something else.
So, Aditya, first of all, thank you. And you've always been coming for the calls.
Yes.
And your request is known to me. Very soon we'll meet.
Yes.
Very soon we'll meet.
Yes.
So, Aditya, FI, what I'm talking about is not about Mahindra EPC. And as you know, we never gave our guidance in terms of our numbers. What I was talking about was the industry. And that is why I used figures like the industry in H2 for F23 2500 crores, and last year was around 2019 and 2000 crores. And the additional 500 crores. So this is for the industry. Our outlook is 5 to 10% growth for the industry we'll have. Now, if you would ask me the follow-up question, what kind of growth would EPC expect? See, our whole strategy and our track record is we always try to work hard to definitely grow faster in the market. And as a result, if you see, some of you have been a long-time investors, I'm aware. I saw the list of people who are here on the call. From a 2.5% market share in the last 8-9 years, we have moved to almost 7% market share. So slowly we have increased our market share, and that trend will continue. So if industry grows by 5-10%, definitely we would target to grow at that rate or slightly better.
Okay, sir. And one more question is about the non-subsidy business. That did we do better than the September quarter last year in non-subsidy business, or was it still on the same level?
No, excellent question. So, see, last full year, F22, we had done 15% of our revenue through non-subsidy full year. And in half one, we had almost 20% business coming through non-subsidy, because last year, remember, we had a big export order, which is not there this year. But this year also, we have done around 22% non-subsidy business. So yes, we have done better than last year, half one, and clearly much better than the full year of last year.
And do we expect to maintain this in the next half as well, sir? Because
yes.
I understand that, you know, this 22% or 20% is also good because there's a reduction in the government business.
Yes.
Now, let's say for the next half year, when we expect more government business, would we be able to maintain this 20% for the full year?
So that is our target, and there's a high priority of maintaining that, because Aditya, what has happened last 2 years because of, you know, the environment, we've also changed our strategies. And project market is one area where we are, you know, getting some success. And that will actually drive this growth for non-subsidy. And I'm also happy to inform all of you that recently we have been awarded Class A contractor, so we can take larger projects also. And we expect the project market should already be done well in H1, and that trend should help us to go beyond 20% of non-subsidy for the full year.
Okay, wonderful, sir. Congratulations for the future, and that's it from my side.
Thank you, Aditya. It's the trust and faith of good investors like you which keeps us going, so thank you for that.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prem Raheja, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for giving me opportunity to take this question. And sir, so I only had one observation to make. Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead, Prem.
Yeah. Sir, when we took over this company in 2012-13, sir, our turnover was anywhere between 125 to 161 crores. And we were showing a profit of about 7 to 8 crores at that point of time. So now fast forward to maybe 2021-2022, what is your estimate as a to the investor community? What is the expectation they should have from EPC, sir, who after 10 years have gone by?
So, Prem, I think last year I mostly asked this question about if, you know, when you took over the prof, the lower revenue was there and profit was there. What has happened, Prem, that we analyzed that, and just to give you some numbers, so in F17, we had around 200 crores revenue and we made around 9 crores profit in F17. And before that, we used to make 2 to 3 crores profit on a lower revenue of 130, 150, whatever numbers you are saying. But the big change which has happened in this our business model as the industry has grown, in those days, our maximum business was Maharashtra, followed by Gujarat and AP, that order. And last 4 or 5 years, the whole equation has changed. AP and Tamil Nadu markets have become much more prominent. And there, in those, we have got project markets, and that contribution has gone up. There, our cost of sale is higher. So our margins, you know, are lower compared to what they were before. That is one major reason. And second is, of course, over time, there is inflation, there are fixed costs are going up. But the good thing on fixed cost is, if you look at our F20 fixed cost and F23 fixed cost, they're pretty much same. So we have tried to really run a tight ship, and despite inflation, we have managed that. Now comes to the real question which you asked in the end. And I can see your point that in terms of capital appreciation or in terms of value creation, it has not met the objectives. And to that point, I fully understand. Clearly, that is some, you know, ongoing concern for us also, that how do we create value for our shareholders. And the reason, as I mentioned, has been due to largely the factors of industry cyclicity and margins, especially last 2.5 years. But if you look at F20, which was a one very good year for the industry, there our performance was clearly in a nice growth trajectory. And I see in the future, as you were asking, how do you see the returns for the future? Now, with the H2, as you can see, the early signs of revival in terms of margins and industry growth, I personally feel that 2024-25 will be good years for the industry. And we can expect to come back to those levels and maybe better. And now, as we go into those years, we are going with almost 75% subsidy, 25% non-subsidy business, which was not there before. We are going with a much higher DRIP contribution of 63-64%, which was not there before. We are going with a much better, tighter working capital situation, which was there some years, it was not some years. It has been, you know, volatile depending on government. So I will not take too much credit of working capital. It depends on state government. So with those factors, clearly, I think, personally, if you ask me, I am quite optimistic about the industry for the coming 2 to 3 years. And I think the worst for the industry is perhaps over. With that happening, surely EPC will continue to perform well, and always we have kept our strongest commitment to governance, customer satisfaction, highest level of compliance, and very transparent communication with our shareholders. So that is our DNA that continues as a Mahindra company, no question about it. So beyond that, so difficult, very specific answer, Premji, because, you know, how industry will grow, it's not like our other businesses where there is a set kind of a pattern. Here there are these little questions about state government's involvement, and that actually drives the whole industry. So that's the peculiarity of the industry.
Sir, thank you so much, sir, for this opportunity. I wish you all the best for the future, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You have always been very keenly observing our company. So thanks for your interest, and thank you very much for coming for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Rajan Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Rajan bhai. Without you, the meeting is not complete. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you. Sir, actually, you mentioned in your opening remarks that the industry will grow at 5 to 10% approximately this year.
Correct.
And we normally do, Mahindra IPC normally does a little bit better than the industry growth.
Correct.
And last year, we reported about 212 crore of top line and a loss of about 9 crore. So
correct.
Can we expect, even assuming the industry grows at 5, can we expect our turnover to be about 225, 230 crore? I mean, what I want to ask is that will the current year's turnover be a little bit more than last year's turnover? So that was my first question. And the raw material prices, where they are right now, and the price hike which we have got about between 12 to 18% from various states, do we expect margins to be better than last year on a full year basis?
Okay.
And, sir, I have a lot of questions. I would request for a meeting.
But yes.
I'll just ask another two questions. Sir, how are our products vis-a-vis Netafim, Rivolis, or Phenolex, or Jain Irrigation? Are we superior? Are we in line with the quality of products? And if we are in line or if we are superior, why can't we take market from them? Because, you know, our share is at about 7%, as you mentioned. I think with what, you know, the brand we have, Mahindra brand, farmers are more well-versed with the Mahindra brand than, I mean, Netafim or Rivolis or maybe Phenolex or even Jain is popular, yes, but Mahindra is a brand which is known across the country, you know, I mean, across the world, in fact, but in the country, farmers are, I mean, Mahindra brand is a very prominent brand, you know. So why can't we be a little more aggressive and grab a little market from the other established players, you know, so to increase our revenue and maybe, you know, grow a little more fast. And that's all, sir. I mean, if you can give some. And, sir, 1920, we reported 285 crore top line and a fabulous profit of 24 crore. Do you expect with this raw material prices and with this price hike, we can expect something like that in 24, 25, which you said would be much better year, you know? So if you can throw some light on all this. Yeah.
Thank you, Rajan bhai. Thank you for all your questions.
Yeah.
You are trying to, again, ask the same question in a more precise way, so but I'll have to give you a very balanced answer. So, see, Rajan bhai, sir, now you are asking me, bhai, will 212 become 225, 240, whatever. I think that's a matter of mathematics. And what I can only repeat what I said to Aditya and Premji, let's see, if the industry grows by 5-10%, definitely our attempt and efforts will be to manage that. And we think we are well poised because of a very fundamental reason. See, why we Mahindra EPC should grow at the industry or faster than industry? There are fundamental reasons. What are the reasons? Our product quality, which actually is your third question. Our product quality, actually, I can say with confidence based on our farmer feedback and dealer feedback, is the best in the market. And I would say best, and add one more company which is very close to us. So two of these companies, without naming the company, are amongst the best in the market. So clearly we see ourselves among the top two companies in the product quality. What is other thing, good thing about our company, which we, our research reveals, is our customer service. And in our business, customer service is not perhaps the routine customer service. It starts with the designing of the solution for the farmer. So there we take a lot of efforts, and then we give good installation and good follow-up service. So our farmer satisfaction is high. We do regular surveys on customer satisfaction, and we do with competition also, and we rank among the on the higher side in the farmer satisfaction. Third, as far as dealers are concerned, channel partners are concerned, we have a very transparent and a very professional way of dealing. So they are also very comfortable in terms of growing with us. Now you talked about market share, your third question. See, frankly, Ajit bhai, we almost increased the market share 3 times in the last 7-8 years, which is pretty significant. Now, we can go further. We can go more aggressive. But you know, I have told you and others also before, in this business, we want to calibrate our growth because we see working capital as a big risk. Now, for example, I'll give you examples, real examples. Now, there are 2-3 companies, I will not name them on this call. They went very aggressive in Andhra in 18, 19, 20. And they had higher market share than us, maybe. But suddenly the 2.5 years, there was no payment. Now, those companies, I know the promoters, I know those companies, they have a tough time. Their whole business actually has gone to a big challenging phase. There's one company which is very heavy on Karnataka, a Calcutta-based company. Now, their money is stuck for 2 years. So we don't want to be in a situation where we are too aggressive in one state and we have a very interesting model where based on that model, we decide that beyond these exposure in these states, we should not take from a risk management perspective. And as you know, we have a very elaborate risk management process through which we control all these things. So we are happy that we did not go very aggressive in Andhra in 1920, which was possible. And you're right, with our brand and this, we can do that. And so we are always balanced. And where we are using this brand more is now in Maharashtra and Gujarat. Now, these two states are, you know, doing very good in terms of other governance. And let me give you some data. If you look at Maharashtra, Gujarat, our sale and contribution from these states has been increasing year on year. Just to put some numbers, in F20, Maharashtra and Gujarat contributed only 18% of our business in F20. This year, H1, it is 46%. Now, we can argue that Andhra and Tamil Nadu are down, hence it has gone up. But even in absolute terms, compared to F20, we might be almost 80% to double in F23 in these two states. So clearly we are doing focusing on the states which are good for payments and good on margins, aggressively on market share. But those who are not sure on payments, we don't want to overexpose ourselves. And now coming to the second question. If raw material same, will it the margins be better than last year? You guys are all expert analysts, so you people know how to ask the questions in a very nice way. So let me look at my data. See, last year, if you look F22, our gross margins were around 37%. And F21 around 48%. F20 peak year was 53%. Against that, this year H1 is 36%. So last year was 37. This year is H1 is 36. So answer is yes. Clearly, margins for the full year will be better than last year. But will they be in line with F21? Answer is no. So they'll be somewhere in the middle.
Right.
And F20 clearly seems too far as things speak, which is the fourth question. So to reach F20 margins is a journey, but to reach F20 profit levels as the industry grows and is positively moving, we are ready. Because see, we have a good lineup, full segments we have got. We have manufacturing facility in Baroda, in Nashik, in Coimbatore. We are also ready to put in one more location if required. So we are very close to the market. Our brand is well accepted. Customers are happy. We have a very good team. The other thing which we have not discussed on the call is our organization. See, we have people who have been working with the company for many years at senior level. Our churn is very less. We are very dedicated, very committed professionals. Because of Mahindra, we are able to attract good talent and retain good talent. So all those basics are very much in place. And we know the business now. In the first 3, 4, 5 years, we were new. Now we know the business. If market is good, we will definitely, you know, grow very aggressively and manage our working capital so that we don't take unnecessary risk. So that also we have learned in this game. So Rajan, my short answer is, you know, if the industry grows back to the F20 level, I don't see any reason why we should not be performing at that level or better, because we are well poised now. And your meeting also is pending. Very soon, my office will report to you and to Aditya ji.
Fine, sir. Fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your, patience and for your continued interest in our company. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. All the best to you, sir. And I hope you and the team, you know, take Mahindra EPC to great levels.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. That's our endeavor. All of us are, you know, committed to that. And we are all very much keen that our company should be at the top for all the right things.
Fine, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. Participants, to ask a question may press star and one now.
I think the question asked by the previous friends were so detailed and so sharp. Nothing is left to ask her to answer. Whatever has to be answered perhaps has been answered.
Yeah, as of now, sir, no questions in the queue. Yeah. So, you want me to give more reminders or we...
No, it's fine. I think it's time is over. It's 45 minutes, which is what is the planned time. And I think we have covered all the points. I don't think I have nothing new to add by and large. It will be just repetition of the same. So, you know, I'm happy to conclude this call. And once again, thank every one of you and wish you a very happy new year ahead. And thanks for all your interest in the company. And I'm sure when we meet going forward, we'll be able to discuss the growth of the industry and see how the industry moves in the future in a positive way. So thank you, everybody, and bye-bye.
Thank you, Mr. Sharma. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Mahindra EPC Irrigation Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.